All right. Well, what a great 6 weeks we'd had. It was a marvelous time of remembering God's faithfulness over the years, rehearsing the events and the miracles, seeing people come in, just like this morning, the Quigleys coming in, people that we hadn't seen for years, but it's just been a real delight. And I think it accomplished a number of things. It gave us a great appreciation for God and His faithfulness to us. It was just amazing how He's led, how He made a way when there was no way, providing miracles of finance in just miraculous ways. I think it built faith. I think also for those of you that are newer to the church, it gave you a sense of the background and the where we came from, and hopefully that you feel part of the church. You know, whether you were here for 50 years or whether you've been here for 3 months, we're still part of this church, and God's hand is upon us. It's like a family where you have older children that's been there longer, but you have a new baby come in. That new child that's born into the family is no less a member of the family than those that have been there longer. And so God's got a plan and purpose as a church going forward, and I'm excited what God has for us. And I think the final thing is that it has been not just a celebration of the past, but these last 6 weeks have been a launching pad into our future. He's preparing us for what is next. And this morning I want to talk to you about that, our future after 50. Our future after 50. Hopefully you picked up a fill-in sheet that you can fill in as we go along this morning. I want to give a background of where we're moving into the future to sort of give the biblical basis of it. And why we're doing what we're doing, and how the scripture lays this out. So we're going to start with this first point. The kingdom of God needs more laborers. The kingdom of God needs more laborers. Jesus identified this in Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You ever feel that way as you move around the city and at your workplace, wherever you are, you see people, we watch the news, we see the trends of things that are happening, and some are disturbing, they're going in the wrong direction, not a way we would want them to go. And Jesus' response, when he saw this, he was moved with compassion. And just first, I pray that that's our heart's attitude towards this generation that we're living in. It's easy to react. It's easy to feel pressured and into beliefs and situations we don't want to be involved in. And we can react, and we, you know, like the Bible says, we can return in the same way, reviling for reviling. They're fighting, we'll fight back. And we can get into this situation where it's a we-them situation. But I want you to know Jesus has a we-we situation. He loves people. He was moved with compassion for people. He saw them. He said they're weary. They're not fed. They're not strength. They don't have the strength to cope with life. So many people do not have the strength to cope with life. They're scattered. They're going in every which direction. They don't know Jesus is the way. So they're looking for all kinds of situations to bring justice and to do right and try to shape society. I think for the general part, people are well-meaning. They're just scattered. They need some direction. They need a shepherd. They need someone to care. And Jesus felt the same way. And he saw the needs. And he said, you know, this is like a great harvest. It's so plentiful. People are so open. They may not be open to the church, organized religion, traditional things that perhaps we represent, but they're praying every night, God, if there is a God, help me, show me. I need a solution to this. And so they're out there. And so Jesus was moved. And when he looked at it all, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The people that are going to be out amongst them that's laboring in this to show people the right way, to satisfy the longing of their heart, to bring them salvation, to bring them into the kingdom of God. The laborers are few. I wonder if that's our attitude. You know, when I listen to our prayers, I think sometimes we don't think that that's the lack. We think the lack is we're not praying enough. And I hear prayers of, Father, move, God, move, God, you know, move into that situation, as if God doesn't want to, and we have to persuade him. I would suggest to you that the lack is not in that we have to persuade God to do something. Or we think the lack is if people were just more open. And so we pray prayers like, oh, Lord, open their heart. Oh, Lord, they're so close to you. Open their heart. Now, that all these prayers are good. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray that. And there are some people that are closed. But that's not the lack. Jesus, when he looked around, he said, there's so many people out here that are longing to know the right answer, the solutions of life, and they don't know. And I'm sending you forth like laborers into this vineyard. There's just not enough laborers. Maybe someone, they say 95% of people pray. More people pray than what we believe in God. That's an amazing, you know, they're praying to a God they don't exist, that they don't believe exists. But they have such pressures in their life. They're saying, oh, God, if you're out there, help me, help me. People are praying. Do you think God wants to answer those prayers? Yes, he does. How is he going to answer that prayer? We're his arms, we're his legs, we're his voice. So he wants us to go out into the vineyard. But there's not enough people. Didn't say there weren't enough Christians. There's not enough laborers. People that are putting their hand to the situation, that are intentional, that realize this is their mission, this is their call, I'm going to get involved in this. That's what's lacking, the laborers. And so Jesus prayed, and he said, we should be praying that God would send forth laborers, which brings us to the next point. God has designed 5 offices in the church to produce laborers. We find it in Ephesians 4. And he himself, speaking of Jesus, because I think Jesus is actually answering his prayer here. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, so they can do the ministry. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. But we think that. We want the big M minister. So, you know, people need help. I'll call the minister. He'll go see them. He'll talk to them. Not realizing that that's not what it says. These offices in the church are not to do the ministry, although they can do it as well. But that's not their primary job. With only a few, I mean, we'd be really limited in what the church can do if it's just limited to the leaders of the church. Now we're really crunching it down. No. The verse says he's given these offices for the equipping of the saints for the work and ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These offices in the church are given to equip the saints, the believers, to do the ministry. They are there to prepare laborers to go out into the vineyard, because we are to be trained and taught and equipped. And so my primary job is to prepare you to do works of ministry, to be laborers in the kingdom. I will still do laboring in the kingdom, but these offices, the leaders of the church, are there to equip all of us to do ministry. I want to just sort of give the background of when I say we're moving into the future and why we're feeling to move in this direction. If it was just left to the giftedness of leaders, well, they can build a megachurch. I mean, there are some people out there, they're very gifted. I mean, I am amazed when I have visited churches to see the leaders, how charismatic they are, how gifted a communicator they are, how they can lead and have vision and cast that vision, and how they can build teams. I mean, there's a reason churches grow to mega size, and usually it's on the gifting of the leader. But the problem is, then those leaders have a target on their back, and Satan loves to go after those leaders, because if he can take them out, he's taken out the whole structure behind them. And sadly, we've seen that happen. Leaders who have fallen into immorality, or they've fallen in different ways, or they just get burned out, and it stymies the work of the Lord. But that, and I'm not opposed to megachurches. I pray we grow into a megachurch. But I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying that isn't what is going to accomplish the kingdom of God growing and being what it should be. It's not just allowing a few talented, gifted leaders to do all they can do. It's to equip every saint, every believer, to do their ministry. God's plan is to unleash the body of Christ. That's God's plan. Unleash the body of Christ. What a group of laborers. If everybody that name the name of Christ did their ministry, and they were moving among those people that are weary, and they are scattered, and they don't know the direction, and they're confused, to speak words of life and be a shepherd to bring them back into Christ. This is what the church is all about. And so we've tried to, and over the years, over these 50 years, we've seen this more and more clearly, that the success of this church isn't how many are gathered here on Sunday morning. The success of this church would be how many of you go out and do ministry 7 days a week. That'll be the success. God's not going to evaluate our church on how big was the building, how many people did you have come? How many programs did you run? Nothing wrong with all those things. We need buildings. We need programs. But the success will be how many people did you equip that are out there laboring in the kingdom? We are salt. We're spread out. We're not to be salt in a salt shaker. Everybody together, inviting people to the salt shaker. We are to be salt and light in this world, touching everyone we come in contact with. And knowing that and being equipped to do it. So that's what we're called to be. So the strategy of KWCF is to equip believers, is the diamond development classes that we have developed. How many have been part or been through the diamond development classes? Let's put it this way. How many have not? This message is for you. I find that Christians are not disinterested in being a witness. They just don't know how to do it. They don't know how to start. I want to share my faith, but I feel uncomfortable. I don't know how. And so, again, this is our job. And so we instituted these classes. We took it from Saddleback out in Rick Warren's church, and he had a baseball pattern, first base, second base, third base, and then home plate. He had different classes. We took the pattern, but the content of it, of course, had to be our own because we know what God is allowing us to do. And so, but we've used that pattern. So first base is what we call pathway to membership. This is where it's 3 one-hour sessions. Usually do it on Sunday morning in the off service. You can go to the class and then come to the service either before or after your class. And so they'll be starting soon. Pathway to membership. We talk about what does it mean to be a Christian? How do you become a Christian? How do you become a member of the body of Christ? So we talk about salvation. We talk about believing. We talk about being baptized. Then we talk about belonging and what is the church? What is our values, our vision, our structure? What is expected of members? All of that is in the 101 class. Every class has a series of commitments that we ask people to make. First class is the 3 B's, as we call it, to believe, to be baptized, to belong. So when you come out of that class, we want everyone to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be baptized, and to belong to a local church. And so that's the first class. The second base we call pathway to maturity. Pathway to maturity. These are disciplines, 4 disciplines we talk about that will allow you to grow. Now, just like in the natural, if you have a plant, you need to water it, you need to cultivate it, you need to make sure it has the right atmosphere around it. Those things do not cause the plant to grow, but allows the life to develop. And so the same with these disciplines. And those disciplines are a time of discipline to be in God's Word, time of discipline to be in prayer, time of discipline to be involved in the church in small groups that you can get to know one another and be accountable to one another and pray for one another in a setting that's small enough you can know each other. And then finally, how do you handle your finances? Because the discipline of handling your finances, the Bible says, if you're faithful in money, I'll give you true riches. And so you need to know how to handle the God of this world, which is money. And so we talk about the disciplines of giving. So those are the disciplines that we cover in the second class. Then we get to third base, which is pathway to ministry. Here we talk about your shape. You have a shape. You have a ministry. God's made you a certain way. Just like there's hammers, and hammers have a different shape than a screwdriver, which has a different shape than a saw. And your shape indicates what you are good at. I mean, you could use a screwdriver to pound in a nail, but it wouldn't be very effective. Better to use a hammer. You could try to twist a screw with the teeth of a hammer, but it wouldn't be very effective. It's better to use the screwdriver. So all of us have different giftings. You have a certain shape. And so we do questionnaires and surveys to determine what your shape is. S-H-A-P-E, your spiritual gift, your heart's passion, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. So we go through that class trying to determine what shape has God made you. And so and then we go on to the fourth, or what we get to home plate then. And when you get to home plate, you score. You count. Runners left on base don't add to the score. It's only when you cross home plate that you're going to add. So we talk about we can do all these things, but until we get to home plate, which is pathway to mission, you get, and so you score, S-C-O-R-E. You get set in your ministry. You're commissioned under spiritual authority, Outreach is the heart of your ministry. You're related to other ministries. You're working together with other ministries. And E, you practice excellence in everything that you do. So this is the track, we call it the equipping track, that we have implemented in the church so that you can be an effective laborer in God's kingdom. So I hope that all of you that raised your hand, that you hadn't been part, our goal and desire, this is what we're all about. We want you to go through that. We develop these classes to help you to determine who you are and what place. See, a lot of people will volunteer for something and, oh, I didn't have a very good experience there, so they sort of step back. Well, maybe it's just you were in the wrong place. You know, you're a screwdriver and they were having you hammering in nails and you say, you know, this is awkward. We need to find the place that you are. So an equipping track that moves you. So once you come through that, the track sort of ended because we have an interview when you come out of that and we try to get you set in some kind of ministry. There were sort of two prongs to this. The first prong is to get set in a ministry in the church. If you had a heart for children, hey, maybe the children's ministry. You had a heart for youth, or maybe you have an outgoing personality, you don't mind meeting people, like to meet people, maybe you can become an usher. There's different ministries, and now those are just two or three. There's lots of ministries in the church. So part of the application, once you came out of that class, was you became involved in some kind of church ministry, which could be directed at other Christians in the church. Nothing wrong with that, but sort of limited. And so then the other prong, and this is what we felt as a church, we need to reach our community. We need to touch people. As a whole, as a church, we need to be involved and be a benefit to our community. And so we created different events. We even created what we called a bridge builders ministry, where we built bridges to the community, a way to get involved with the community that's a bridge to them and a bridge them to the Lord. And so a lot of these were outreach events. One thing we did is a Canada Day pig roast. And so every Canada Day we would roast a pig, invite people to come, and we talked about Canada and talked about the Lord. We'd sing the last verse, which we might even do when we get to Canada Day this year. Singing about in the fourth verse of our national anthem talks about God and giving ourselves to the Lord. So we did that. Then we did an outreach into the Emmanuel Village. It was a low-income housing complex, and we worked with them, and we cleaned up the yard, and we put in a basketball court, and then we had youth programs and for children there, and people worked with that once a week, and then we did backpack giveaways, and we gave away hundreds of backpacks to the community. Different events trying to touch our community. And then we did Sunday evening during the summers, food trucks out in our backyard, and we brought in live musicians and invited people to come. And all of this was a means of trying to reach out to the community. And then the last thing that we've done, which you're well aware of, is our Christmas Walk of Lights and inviting people to come. And wow, that overwhelmed us, the response. As I share with you, over the last 4 years that we did it, 20,000 people coming through that Walk of Lights and hearing the gospel. Powerful outreach. Okay. But those were events that lasted for a certain period of time, that even though they were ongoing, they were periodic. And again, it was a structure where we just asked people to come and help. And yeah, contribute your gift, But it wasn't, it was just sort of events we did. And all of them were good. All of them were effective. In fact, I know there's people here. When I talk to them, how did you first hear about the church? They'll say, well, I came to the Walk of Lights. Or, again, another outreach is the radio program that we've done for 19 years, believe it or not. And people will hear on the radio and will come. All of these are means. But, folks, let's now get down to the ongoing vision, the vision after 50. We're feeling like God wants us not just to do outreach events periodically, but that we need to release the giftings of everyone in the church. How do we have a more sustained reaching out to the community that's 24/7? Each one of you are gifted. The Bible tells us that you received a gift and it's for the benefit of others. Some of you don't think you're gifted. But you're a 10 at something. You have an ability. You have some talent. You have some aptitude that if you engage that, it can benefit others. What we want to do is develop a platform for your ministry. I'm standing on a platform. This is a platform where I use my gifting. It's a platform where the musicians can use their giftings for our benefit. But many of you will be very, very uncomfortable on this platform because this is not your platform for your gift. What is the platform for your gift? I want you to think about this for a moment. What platform do you have to exercise your gift? Because I think most of us are well-intentioned. We want to, but we just don't know how. We've never developed a platform that we can stand upon to use our gifts. And so the next point is this. Let's go back in case you missed the fill-ins. Two prongs of involvement in church ministry in the past has been set in a ministry in the church. The second one, involved in outreach events. And then moving to the future is to create a platform that enables our members to use their abilities for the benefits of the community, for the benefit of the community. So everybody needs a platform. A platform where you benefit the community. It shouldn't be fighting against the community. It's how do we benefit the community? The same feeling Jesus had of compassion for people, we want to have that same compassion in our heart and touching out, reaching out and touching our community. Our shortened vision for the church is to connect God, or to connect each person with God and each other so we can fulfill our purpose in life. So that's what this church exists for, to connect people with God and with each other so we can fulfill our purpose in life. So, is there a way we can connect people with God and we can work together for your gift to be manifested, a platform for your gift to be used for others? So let's get to the next point. And this is getting to the essence of our future. We want to develop a Life Hub Center. We want to develop a Life Hub Center. A place to come to gain insight for life and resolve the problems of life. It might begin with an online presence, but our vision is that there would be an establishment of a building a Life Hub Center where people can come that has problems in life. You know, for years we've talked about a solution center. A solution center. So when you're talking to someone and they got a problem, you say, you should come to the solution center. Well, what's that? Well, it's a place where you come and they help you find the solution to your problem. That's the solution center. And that's what we desire. Like in a hospital, they have a triage place where you come in and you tell them your symptoms and then they send you for treatment. I would love to have a place where a triage center, when people come with their problems and situations, and you talk to them, and then you say to them, you know, we want to give you the real solution to your problem. We don't want to give you a Band-Aid solution. We don't want to just treat your symptoms. We want to get to the core of the problem. Now, we know every problem has a spiritual solution. It all goes back to the Spirit. Jesus is the answer. People don't know Jesus is the answer. So they're scattered. They're looking in all kinds of directions. What if you had some kind of center that people come to and they, in time, are directed to the cure of their problem and not just treating symptoms? There's lots of places in society you go and we'll help you with your money, we'll help you with this. But it's not dealing with the core issue. They want to, but they don't see that the real core issue is the lack of Christ in your life, and he's not the Lord of your life, so you're running into all kinds of situations. But what if we had a Life Hub Center, a place where people come? Now, they could deal with marital problems, family situations, financial problems, employment problems, relational problems, a place where people come that we reach out. Now, we envision the 2 acres of land beside us to be part of our future. It is part of our future. We celebrated over the last number of weeks. We told you the stories, how we purchased that property, miracle. How we paid for that property, miracle. How the last $1,000 came in, I think an angel put the $1,000 check out in the foyer. I mean, just amazing that there's no other way to account for it. God gave us that 2 acres. And he wants to use it. And I told you the story about the visiting minister that came before we purchased the property. And he was here, and just before service, I walked out with him. I said, I want to show you this 2 acres beside us. Told him the story. I said, we're wanting to purchase this property. Zone commercial. It's way more money than what we could ever afford. But we're believing the Lord for it. And I said, can you pray for us? So we walked out onto the property. And as soon as he stepped on the property, he looked at me and he said, this is amazing. He said, my feet started to tingle the moment I walked on this property. And then he said this, this property is excited about its future. Amen. So part of our future going forward is the development of that property. I don't know exactly. The things I'm going to share with you now are not clear. They're not in focus completely. It's like we're seeing an image of the future, and as we go forward, it will become clearer and clearer. We're directing our path, but the Bible says he will direct our steps. So we're going to move in this direction, believing God will open the door. So here are some things that are around this, the components of our future. And if you received the 50th magazine that we put out, the last page talks about looking to the future. And so I want to just talk a little bit about that. So here are some components of our future. We need to expand this present auditorium. I don't know what form that will take. We've had architects look at a plan. We have different plans, different ways. One is to just expand this wall around. In other words, pulpit's here, but the pulpit would be standing here. This would be the center. So it would wrap to here, and then it would wrap around the rest of the way. It would double our seating. That's one possibility. I don't know whether that'll be where we go or not, but we're looking at conceptual drawings for that. Another idea is to go out towards the road and put the playground equipment we have downstairs to go out towards the road and have a two-story playground. We already have that equipment, by the way, stored away in the containers. So I don't know, but we're looking at components. How will this all to go together? But we do believe, however, that there's going to be a building of a building that will be a Life Hub Center for the community that will be used 7 days a week. We envision this building either as an addition onto this, going out onto the 2 acres, facing the corner, or it might be a separate building there. Again, we're looking and praying and asking the Lord to show us, asking you to pray with us. But what is our future after 50 going forward? It's going to be the development of a Life Hub Center. And so we envision it, maybe a coffee cafe that's open 7 days a week, that people can come into, so they sense this is more of a community aspect, not just a church. This is a community place to come in. We anticipate that building having a non-traditional church look. So it's more like a community center, actually a Life Hub Center. It may have counseling there, spaces for meeting rooms, a wide array of services. So if you want to go down the list, it has businesses. Partnering perhaps with other ministries is a better way of putting it. That if we have room to partner with other nonprofit ministries and say, hey, we have space here. You're welcome to come. How can we partner together here? So, but it's an outreach center to the community. So, venues, it can have office space. We already visited a church in Brantford that have done this. They have renovated a complex, and they've actually had 10 to 15 offices. And so what they do is they rent it out on a weekly basis, 1 day a week. A lot of people working from home, but they need an office to meet clients or to meet with. They just need an office 1 day a week. And so they make this available. They told us that they've already booked the whole time, all these rooms. It's a need I'm not aware of, but apparently is out there. And so we're just, again, meeting the needs of the community. And so there's that aspect, training, seminars, classes. Now listen, here's the point. A shared space where our members, listen, this is the whole point. A shared space where our members can use their gifts to benefit our community. This platform, this area of the building, is a platform for apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to use their giftings to minister to God's people. Another building that have platforms, not necessarily like this platform, but a platform that your gift can work on, that we take turns using our giftings to benefit the community. We give a tithe of our finance. What if we gave a tithe of our time and our abilities and our talents? 4 hours. And maybe you do it over a month period. I give an hour a week, or I give 2 hours every second week, and I use my gifting to benefit the community. So you might have a counseling degree. You say, I'll give 2 hours a week. or 2 hours every second week. I'll come in, we advertise. If you need counseling, come on in. It's free. Just to benefit you. You've got a problem in your marriage. Hey, we've got counselors here that will help you. You got financial problems. We have financial planners here in the congregation. They've already told me, I'll donate a couple of hours a week, and I'll just be available to help people free. There's no end to it. Whatever your talent and ability are that you use in your natural employment, what if we tithed it and gave it to a community center and we use our talents and abilities and giftings to touch people, build relationships? It might start with a couple hours sit down, but might extend to a coffee, may extend to sharing your faith and why you're doing what you're doing, and seeing them come to the Lord, where they see a big picture that Christ is the center of our lives. So, man, I want what they have. I like what I'm feeling here. We're Christ to the world, to our generation. But again, we built a track to help all of us, built a platform for your ministries. That's open 27, 24, well, not 24/7 in that, but I'm saying open every day in some form or other. I was talking to someone and they renovate, and we were chatting about this, and the person said, hey, I wouldn't mind coming in and just being open to consulting with people and telling them about things you should look for if you're going to get a renovator, and how to finance. Other people said, you know, I would work with budgets with people. See, it's as broad as your gifting. Now, you've ruled yourself out, haven't you? Some of you. You said, well, I don't have any ability. You have a gift in something. If nothing else, the Bible says there's a gift of helps. And you might not be the prime center person, but you come along with the team, and you're just helping make things happen. Everybody has a place. What if we had a building on this 2 acres? Where you have a place to begin to share your gifts and your talents and your abilities. And the church helps equip you for it. In fact, talking to this renovator, he said, man, if there was 2 or 3 other renovators, he said, maybe we could do a workshop. We'll advertise a workshop and come in and we have a workshop training. And we can promote it through the radio. We can promote it different ways. Inviting the community to experience the benefit of your ministry, building bridges, something that's ongoing, something that's coordinated, but not to take away from the fact, I think once you get started, then the other days of the week, you're going to be open. You're going to help people, your neighbor, you're going to have people you work with, you're going to be much more open to share your heart because you're feeling fulfilled. God didn't intend Christians just to come once a week and listen to a message and get involved in a few other ministries that are to other Christians. He's equipping you to reach this world. People that are weary, scattered, don't know where they're going, and to be able to be a shepherd into their lives. Well, folks, that's the vision. It may not be completely sharp and focused, but it's where we're moving towards, and I believe God will help us. And just as if you've been with us for the last 50 years, taking every step along the way, just confirming his word with signs and wonders and financial support, I just believe the Lord's going to do the same for us going forward. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Are your feet tingling? Are you beginning to get excited? wow, I do want my life to count. I want a way to minister to others. I got so much knowledge, but I've never really known how to express it to others. I've been good at this, but I didn't know I could use that to minister for God. He wants to release the body of Christ. Oh, man. How would the church grow? How would the kingdom of God grow if every believer was a laborer? If you want to receive this morning, I just ask you to put your hands up like this and just open them. I want to pray for us. I want you to receive this message. And whatever God says to you, that you're open to that. Whatever God says to you, you're open to it. Lord, we stretch out our hands to you. We know this is your calling. This is your desire. And Lord, we want to work as a church, to be together and to extend ourselves into this community. Oh God, help us. Show us the way forward. Touch every heart here. Prepare us for the future, what you want us to be and to do. We commit it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.